there.
This is Dr. Richard Matto, your co-host on the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. Thanks for being with us for episode 5. We've got a fantastic podcast episode today. It's called, and maybe somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it's called The New Patient Fix. And I'm here, speaking of fixing, we've got another dental practice fixer in the room, and that's my brother and co-host, Dr. David Matto. How's it going today, Dave?
What is going on? Great to be here, Rich. Good to be back in the studio again with you. This is fun.
Yeah, I like our studio. The lights are a little dimmer today. I'm not sure who set the studio up today, but I'm getting like a really nice, warm, mellow vibe in here in our studio in Reisterstown, Maryland.
I think with the low lights, it's, you know, something, because in the past, the episodes we did, the light was bright. This low light thing could be really good for creativity, for speaking, for whatever.
Yeah, on the last episode, I felt like I was being interrogated. It was so bright in here.
Oh, you were. Don't worry. I confessed. But no, today I'm relaxed. I'm drinking some green tea here. What do you have?
I'm drinking Moroccan mint green tea.
You know something? My next cup might be that. Can I steal a tea bag from you?
I got to tell you, when my wife and I went to Morocco several years ago, I got hooked on Moroccan mint green tea, and I've been drinking it ever since. You know, I bought the whole samovar with the thing.
You've got
whole
a samovar at home?
Tea ceremony thing. That was a pain in the ass, so we stopped doing that. But you can get on Amazon just Moroccan mint green tea bags, which is what I use these days. Yeah, they're made. Yeah. I think they're made by Stash.
Stash.
That's the first tip of the day.
Part of your stash.
Exactly. So, hey, before we get going on the new patient fix, let's do our little segment where we tell you a quick tip to help you save money. And this is something that we see in a lot of our coaching clients, and we've helped them with this, and it takes minutes, don't you think? Or seconds?
Very quick, no question. Yeah.
We call it look for your lazy expenses, and we find that just about every dentist, or even non-dentist we know, has these lazy expenses, which are things typically, not always, but typically you signed up for something and you get billed monthly for something, and it could be $8 a month, and it could be the one we joke about all the time is some people are still paying for AOL, but you know, it could be a Netflix account you're not using, it could be some kind of data that you're paying for, it could be a million things, and it gets on your charge card and it's a small amount of money, so it just doesn't even get your attention every month. But these things add up. So our tip today is look through your charge cards, all your statements, or even your bank statements, or anything where you're charged money for something, and see if you have any lazy expenses, things that you're paying for every month or every quarter or every year that you don't really need. Cancel them immediately. You'll save money. There's no question about it.
And by the way, stay tuned for next episode. We've got something kind of along the same lines, but it's going to save even more money. So check that out for sure.
I think we can even guarantee this next one will save you money.
No, so yeah, we're not going to reveal this episode though. We can't. It's next episode. Absolutely. Episode 6.
Absolutely. So hey, let's talk about the new patient fix and what we mean by the new patient fix. I will say that typically when people contact us and say, hey, there's an issue in their practice they want to talk about, or they want to talk to us about coaching or attending a seminar or get some advice, whatever it is, so frequently people say, we need more new patients. We need more new patients. And people seem to think that if they only got more new patients, that would solve all of their problems. What percentage of the practices we speak with do you think are kind of addicted to the new patient fix?
Addicted?
Will solve their issues. Let's put it that way.
Close to all.
I agree.
Close to all. Because not only the patient, not only the practice we work with, but typically when we speak somewhere, we go in and let's face it, we talk to a lot of docs during breaks. And probably the most common question or even statement is, if I only had more new patients, I'd be much more successful. That's all I need is more new patients.
Right.
That's what they say.
It's kind of like one of those things where people think, if I only had more money, I'd be happier in my life. You know,
I
wouldn't turn down more money. Nobody would, but it wouldn't necessarily make you happy.
Absolutely.
It
will
make you,
true.
Could make you wealthier, but it won't necessarily make you happy. And, you know, I think it's the same thing with new patients. And then, and look, we have nothing against new patients. We help practices get new patients. We've been helping practices for 25 years, do all kinds of marketing programs to get more new patients. And we love it when practices get more new patients. But what we don't love is when practices get more new patients and it doesn't help their practice because they thought that was their solution to everything.
Or when they think they're getting more new patients and they get their phone rings a lot more, but there are other things that are going on in the practice that are actually still stopping them from getting more new patients. They're putting the money into new patient campaigns and things like that, but they're actually still not even, that's even worse. They're not even getting more new patients.
Yeah.
These are other problems.
Great point. And let's segue into that. That's one of the things we find with a practice that thinks that their fix is to do more marketing, either internal or external, to get them more new patients. But they've got someone who's completely botching the new patient calls every time. That's why we do our call of the day every time we do a podcast to demonstrate that.
That's funny. When you said, when you started to say, you pause for a second, you said they've got somebody that's completely, I thought you were going to use another word.
I was going to use a word that started with an F, but I decided
No, I thought you, a nicer, I thought you were just going to use the word inept.
Incompetent?
Completely inept. Right. They're just inept.
You know, I hate to think that anybody's inept. I like to think, as you do too, that they're just not properly trained. I think they can
You're a nice guy.
They can be ept. They don't have to be inept. They can be totally ept.
And that's, they're probably gruntled also.
Possibly.
I'm guessing.
Very gruntled. Okay, so it's a good point. Haven't we shown this to you at this point, that the typical dental office, even great dental practices, you can call, a potential new patient can call, asking the questions like, do you take my insurance? Are you open on Saturdays? I'd like to, how much is a cleaning? Whatever. And not have the opportunity to make an appointment.
Oh, yeah.
So that phone could be definitely ringing five times a day with a potential new patient. And this practice thinks they need more new patients, but what they really need is somebody who knows how to handle the calls properly. And not to tease you too much today, but we'll get into that in a future podcast for sure.
Yep.
We also find that they have an adequate amount of new patients, but they're not doing the right amount of treatment on them. They're not doing treatment plans correctly, presenting them correctly, not doing a periodontal screening and offering periodontal treatment. We see so many things like that.
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, those are two really big ones. I use the word inept, but okay, maybe it's not a good word. But somebody at the front desk that is not really signing people up, not really scheduling people, doctor not treatment planning. But there are a lot of other things too. Expenses totally out of whack, all kinds of things that are going on. Let's face it, the dental practice, it's a small business, and if you're not running it like a small business, you know, it's like you can't keep getting more and more and more new patients and hope that's going to solve the problem. It won't. It definitely will not.
Right. I need more new patients, but my overhead is 87%.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I need more new patients, but I'm spending more than I earn.
Mm-hmm.
So many things can be looked at and rectified. That's a weird word.
First time it's ever been used in a podcast. Rectified. Maybe not. I don't know.
So the point is, so many dental practices, you know, we all want the same things in our practices. We want them to run smoothly and be profitable, but it's not always just more new patients, more new patients, more new patients.
So what is a typical listener? They're listening to this. They're saying, okay, well, maybe I don't need that many more. Well, first of all, new patients are always good and they're always important.
They're
great. We don't want to downplay that. But if you pay attention to other things going on in your practice, like I'd say probably one of the first ones would be to make sure your front desk person, whoever's on the front lines, whoever's answering the phones, is totally trained and knows how to take a call that comes in. Sometimes we call them like stupid questions, like how much is a cleaning or what are your hours? You know, things like they have to know how to take a call like that and lead them to an appointment.
But I'll tell you something. Just about every doctor we talk to thinks that their front desk person is doing a bang-up job. They think they're great. And you know what? I think that not that this person doesn't want to do a great job, but I think that we see a lot of good qualities in our team. Like if the person that answers the phone to the front desk is very pleasant, has a nice voice, speaks to the patients really well, soothes them, makes them feel comfortable, those things are all great. But I think we can be lulled into thinking that person's doing a fantastic job with scheduling just because they have those qualities. And they're not, you know, they're not even offering patients, potential new patients, the chance to make the appointments. And another thing that we see that just blows us away every time is that the phone isn't being answered at all, let alone by somebody who's inept. It goes to voicemail during lunch. It goes to voicemail during the day, and that people get a recording that says something like, if you're getting this recording during normal office hours, it means we're busy treating new patients.
Do they sound nerdy like
that? Not new patients. I'm sorry. Busy treating other patients. Yeah, they always
sound nerdy like
always.
That.
Always. We're busy seeing other patients. Well, what does that mean to a potential new patient? This practice is too busy for me.
Yeah, I'm not important enough. Yep. But so, okay, from our experience, close to 30 years and not only being dentists, running practices, but also helping, teaching, inspiring, coaching. What would you say the percentage of offices that actually have somebody at the front desk that is really effective in getting somebody from the phone into the appointment book? I've got a number in my mind. What would you, an honest number, what would you say?
Really effective.
Really effective.
10%.
I was going to say 10 to 20%. Yep. So we're both pretty much in the same ballpark.
Well, look, we've made a lot of secret shopper calls, and our team has made a lot of secret shopper calls. So this isn't just guesswork. And I think along with those lines, what percentage of practices have phones that are not answered by a real human being every time it rings? 30 to 40%, don't you think?
Yep. High percentage. But so if you're listening to this, which I think you are because you're hearing my voice, if you're listening to this, don't think that you're automatically one of those that's doing everything right, that your front desk person is doing anything right. There's an 80% chance, an 80 to 90% chance that you're in that group. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing to be embarrassed about, but it just means there's an 80 to 90% chance you're in that group. Your front desk person probably needs help getting somebody from the phone into the appointment book.
And it doesn't just mean you go up to her. We'll use the feminine pronoun. Yeah. Is it a pronoun? Because most front desk people are women.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you just go up to her today at lunch and say, "Madge, you need to do a better job scheduling patients when they call." That means nothing.
That will not work. Guaranteed. Yeah. So what do they do? What should they do? Seriously.
They should say, well, okay. I think we don't have time for it on this podcast. We promise we'll do it in the future. But I think that said, a first step will be, let's have a team meeting and let's do some mock calls and let's figure out, and some people in the practice can play the potential new patient. That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And let's figure out what we can do, what kind of verbiage we can use to get people to actually appoint when they call.
I think maybe if they just start with it, doing some role playing, doing some practicing, but their goal, and maybe there'd be a sign in front, so only the front desk person could see it, and obviously patients can't see it, but there'd be a sign in front of her saying something like, do not let the car go until you have an appointment scheduled. Right.
And the key line is, at the very end, say, "We'd love to see you as a new patient in our practice and offer two good choices." I mean, to really wrap it up, that's the key. Don't say, "Would you like to make an appointment? We'd love to see you as a new patient in our practice. We can see you today at 4 p.m. If that's not good, we can see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Which works best for you?"
Mm-hmm.
Boom. The simplest advice ever.
And if worse comes to worse, if they don't want to do something right now, at least get their name and their contact information. Because once they hang up and you don't have that, you're done. You can never reach that person again.
Yeah, we call that lost and gone forever.
Yeah.
And, it's amazing how many practices have these potential new patients that are lost and gone forever. They called with a question. Their question was answered. How much do you charge for cleaning? What are your hours? Do you do braces? Whatever it is, their question was answered, but they didn't make the appointment and their contact information was not taken down. And now they have vanished into the ether. Is it the ether that people vanish into? The Ethereum?
Only if they're ethereal. The Ethernet. They're vanishing into
right into the Ethernet.
Somewhere into the Ethernet.
Is the word Ethernet even used anymore?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. We can check that out and do another
episode. Our sources vanish right into
Rich,
the Ethernet.
Why don't we do this? I know we normally do the call towards the end of the show, but since we're talking right now about how 80 to 90% of calls are mishandled, and I guarantee we're just going to do this randomly, and I'm pretty much guaranteeing right now this front desk person who answered the phone, and we don't even know who we're calling yet, but she will not ask for an appointment or not ask for any contact information.
Okay.
She'll let us go. I'm willing to guarantee it.
Let's do it. And sometimes these calls last 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You just ask a question, they answer it, and then they do nothing. So, all right, let's do it. I'm going to just pull up a random number of a dental practice.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Cheryl speaking.
Hi, how much is the cleaning, please?
My name is Cheryl. The cleanings are with or without insurance. Without insurance, it's $108.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Sure. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, hey, thank you for calling. That's always a nice way to end a call, right?
Now, that I think that's even they claim they're like a high-level practice.
Yeah, I have to admit, we know this practice personally, and they have an excellent reputation. They're in our area. Yeah.
I think it was kind of good that she reinforced that her name was Cheryl. That was I thought she was going to really handle the call great. Yeah. And my name is Cheryl. She said it twice.
Big deal.
Exactly. Big deal if you're not going to really... She didn't ask for anything.
Nothing. And, you know, it's almost like you're totally disinterested. You don't want to help the person.
Right. I didn't have a warm, fuzzy feeling there at all. So I don't care how much...
I had a fuzzy feeling, but not a warm
one. I don't care how much marketing they're doing. I can't imagine they're getting more, a lot of new patients.
Well, I was going to say, this practice could be, and this is just, you know, we're kind of... making this up, but it could
kind of spitballing.
Be right. They could be spending thousands of dollars per month on marketing. They could be doing a lot of things right marketing wise, and you could have received their marketing, whether it was, you know, they're doing SEO or pay-per-click mailers, you know, anything to get the phone to ring, and their phone just rang.
Yeah,
somebody that wanted to come in.
So I think, like, what I would have done, and you can weigh in on this if you want, but if I had been Cheryl, I would have, you know, been maybe a little bit nicer, a little bit warmer, and I would have probably explained a little bit about what happens on the first visit, and then I would have said, hey, let's I would have given the two good options. I would have asked for my name. I said, hey, so she could have said, hey, Dave, we actually have some availability tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. or the next day at 4 p.m. What's better for you? Giving the two options, two good options, really, really works well. And at least she's asking me to do something.
Right. I agree. And my kind of favorite little one, if somebody calls and says, little one.
Little one. That didn't sound
right. Favorite little technique is if somebody says, how much do you charge for a cleaning? Ask them a question like, oh, it sounds like you're looking for a new dentist. Is that correct? Because usually people that want to know how much a cleaning is are looking for a new dentist. And that opens up a whole new conversation where if they say, yes, we are looking for a new dentist, she could say, oh, well, my name is Cheryl. Let me tell you a little bit about the practice. We've been here for 20 years and Dr. So-and-so is fantastic. And we'd love to see, we have a great hygienist, June, who has an opening tomorrow. Or, you know, whatever. Just to make it personal. Jeez.
I'd say that's actually a great line. So, yeah, my name is Cheryl. It seems like you're looking for a new dentist. And then get the person into a conversation. Yeah. I'll tell you something. I think there'd be a very, very great chance that if somebody had done that to me, I would have said, oh, yeah. Like, even if I wouldn't like be comparing fees, if she were really nice and explaining the practice, I'd say, yeah, let's do it.
Yep.
Let's,
I mean, look, money is important. The patient was asking about money. So answer the money questions. But, jeez, get them in.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? You got to get them in.
You know, okay, so I think everybody gets the idea. Mm. We love new patients, but if you think that the new patient fix is going to be the practice fix that you need, you probably should start looking in other avenues as well, because so many times you can spend money or do things to get the phone to ring, and it doesn't help your practice at all when other things need to be taken care of first.
And there are a lot more things than we mentioned in this show today. But I can think of like even something like and we'll probably do a whole episode on this, the $1 million file cabinet. I mean, you know, it is a lot less expensive and much easier to keep an existing patient and reactivate somebody that's already there than to spend the money and get somebody in. Again, we're not down on new patients. We love new patients, but there are many things you do in your practice that are extremely important to be more profitable.
We are absolutely going to do one of the $1 million file cabinet. We'll even tell you what that means on the episode when we do it. But you know, it's so funny. We've seen practices where their data is analyzed and they're losing more patients than they're gaining, and they had no idea. And if they just put some things into place to close the back door, as we say, they wouldn't be so fixated on the new patient thing.
Yep.
All right.
I think that puts another one in the books, man.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, everybody, for listening to the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. And hey, we'd love to chat with you. If you've got some issues in your practice that you want to discuss with us, we're here. Our lead coach, Betty Hayden, is fantastic. And we'd love to give you a little chat. So contact us. We're here for you.
And the easiest way to get us, if you need us for anything at all, whatever it might be, is just simply drop us an email, podcast@maddow.com, M-A-D-O-W. Pretty easy, podcast@maddow.com. Until next time, I'm Dr. David Maddow.
Dr. Richard Maddow, thanks so much for listening. I want a new drug.